Hey, everybody, what's going on? Thanks for being in church. I so appreciate you being here. I also want to welcome those that are watching online. Thank you for joining us at Tulia Christian Fellowship. We have been talking about faith. We've been talking about God being with us, and we're going to continue on that vein tonight. Now, last week we found out three simple things, and I warned you to not miss this because of the simplicity. And the very first thing we talked about is that God is with us. Now, and I know you can think, well, hey, Pastor, everybody knows that, but making it a reality in our life is different altogether. So the very first thing is God is with you. He's with you everywhere you go and in everything you do. The second thing we found out is God is not only with us, but he's for us. He's for us. Now, that changed my life. That truth changed my walk with God, and I believe it'll do the very same thing for you. Then the third thing we found out is that God is in us, all right? He's with us, he's for us, and he's in us. So I want to show you a verse. We're going to look at Isaiah 41:10, and it's going to be up on the screen, and I've got two little statements highlighted. Look what it says. It says, fear not. Now, I love that. I could stop right there and preach the rest of the service on that. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. Okay, the scripture bears out the first truth I just gave you. Okay, God is with you. And because he's with you, you do not have to be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. That's the second point I made. All right, not only is God with you, but God is for you. God says in this statement right here, I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When I was a kid growing up, my dad worked for the Burlington Railroad, and a lot of times he worked nights. Now, he didn't work nights all the time, but there would be times he would work nights. And so he would leave to go to work, and my brother and I and my mother would be at the house by ourselves. And there would be times that my mother would be afraid. Okay, she would be afraid. Well, because she was afraid, it made us afraid. And so when Dad wasn't there, there would kind of be some fear at nighttime when we went to bed. Okay, this scripture says right here that God is with you and for you. Now, when Dad did not work nights, all right, when he was home and he was in bed next to my mother, nobody was afraid. She wasn't afraid and we weren't afraid. Why? Well, because Big Daddy was home. That's why. And it didn't matter what we faced or what was going on. We knew we were okay because Dad was there. Okay, listen, your Heavenly Father is with you. Amen? He's with you. Not only is he with you, he's for you. When you go home this evening and you go to your house, God is there with you. As you drive in your car on the way home, he's with you. The next thing is not only is he with you, but he's for you. Now, I've talked about this before, but that revelation, that truth, really changed my walk with God. And I don't know, I'm not blaming anybody, but somewhere along the line in my life, I kind of somehow got the idea that maybe God wasn't for me. Now, God never said that. I never heard a preacher say that, but I just kind of somehow caught that. And when I found out, no, God is for me. Listen, God is for you. As I look around this room tonight, I want every single one of you to know God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. Then the third thing we looked at is that God is in you. Now, that only belongs to us as New Testament Christians. In the Old Testament, God didn't dwell in them. God would be with them. God would be for them, but he didn't dwell in them. Well, think about now, of all the places God chose to live, he chose to live in us. You know, when Jesus died on the cross in the Old Testament, before Christ died, the presence of God was in the temple. Okay, and the Jews went to the temple and they worshiped God, and there was a place called the Holy of Holies, and that's where God's presence abided. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a curtain that the priest would go through to go into God's presence once a year. Well, that veil, if you will, that curtain was torn all the way top to bottom, not bottom to top. It wasn't torn by a man. It was torn by God all the way from the top to the bottom. And God came out of the Holy of Holies and he came into our heart. So not only is God for us, not only is God with us, but God is in us. Now, I'm going to go to 1 John 4:4. And we looked at this verse last week. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now listen, whatever you're facing in life, God is for you. God is with you. God dwells in you. And there's nothing in your life you cannot overcome. There's nothing you can't overcome. Listen to what it says. It says, you've overcome them. Whatever you're facing, why? Because greater is he that is in you. Now look at that phrase that's been highlighted. What does it say? What does it say where God is? Well, he's in us. Now, how did he get in there? Well, you invited him in. He knocked on the door of your heart. Do you know the door of your heart opens from the inside, not the outside? Right? When I lock my front door tonight, when we go to bed in my home, I close the door. It opens from the inside, not the outside. All right, your heart is the very same way. You see, Jesus knocked on the door of your heart. You opened it and you let him in. You said yes to Jesus Christ. Amen? And because you said yes to Jesus Christ, this verse right here says, where is he? Well, he's in you. And the verse says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Now, we've been talking about being God inside minded. Now, think about that for a minute. Becoming more God inside minded. What does that mean? It means being aware that the living God dwells on the inside of you. The living God has made his home inside of you. From fingertip to fingertip, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you are filled with the Spirit of God. The greater one dwells on the inside of you. So, all the strength you need, all the peace you need, all the hope you need, all the joy you need, all the wisdom you need, I could go on and on, whatever's on your list, dwells on the inside of you. Because the greater one's on the inside of you. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than depression. He's greater than discouragement. He's greater than sickness and disease. Whatever problem you've got going on in your life, the greater one dwells on the inside of you. He is a resource available to you. Are you with me? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The greater one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. The Bible says God created the universe with the span of his hand. That's from your index finger to your thumb. Now, I love to get up early in the morning and drink coffee and read my Bible, and I get up before the sun comes up. I get up before the breaking of the dawn. I just love to get up early. And I go outside a lot of times out in the backyard, and I will look up and look at the stars. I love looking at the stars at night. I just so enjoy it because it just gives me confidence in the bigness of God. It gives me confidence that God's taking care of me. Now, it doesn't make me feel small. Okay, I didn't say that. No, it doesn't make me feel. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, man, I look at the sea and it makes me feel small. No, I'm not saying it makes me feel small. It makes me feel how big my God is and that he loves me and takes care of me. The greater one dwells on the inside of me, the greater one dwells on the inside of you. Now listen, whatever you need, whatever's going on in your life, the resource of God is available to you because greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Man, you know, Pastor, I got school starting and I'm going to college for the first time, or hey, I'm in high school for the first time, or hey, maybe I'm young married, or I've got this going on in my life. Well, you have the greater one on the inside of you. Hey, Pastor, I need to change jobs and I don't know what I need to do, or hey, God, I need direction from God. Well, you have the greater one dwelling on the inside of you. Hey, I'm concerned about, I'm getting close to retirement. I'm concerned about my future. The greater one dwells on the inside of you. Listen, that's amazing. Amen? All right, I want to show you another verse. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4:7. Excuse me. Now, look what this says. You're going to love this verse. I love this verse. We now have this light shining in our hearts. What light? The light of God. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power, the power I'm just talking about, is from God and not from ourselves. Ah, I love this verse. Now, what does that mean? Well, my body is a clay jar. The scripture says, well, how was Adam created? From the dust of the earth. Okay, your flesh is like a clay jar, but inside of this is a great treasure. Now, I love that. See, I carry around this jar with me everywhere I go called my body, and I groom it, I take care of it, I pamper it, I feed it, I try to clean it regularly, I put some stuff on it to make it smell good. I take good care of this clay jar, and it's fragile. Amen? And it's getting older, and mine's got a few cracks in it, and the cracks are showing up on my face. Amen? Okay, this clay jar. Now, whether your clay jar is 10 years old or your clay jar is 70 years old, you've got this clay jar. You take it with you everywhere you go. And within it, within you, is a great treasure. Now, there's two thoughts I want to give you on that that I love. Okay, the first is the Spirit of God. You see, residing inside of me is the Spirit of the living God. Also residing in me is my own eternal spirit. Are you with me? You see, I'm eternal on the inside. And I have an eternal spirit on the inside of me. I'm going to live forever. You're going to live forever. You're going to exist forever. So I've got my own living spirit on the inside of me, and then I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And it says that it's a great treasure. This makes it clear. Now, I want to make it clear. This makes it clear that the great power is from God and not from me. What does that mean? Well, that means when I lay hands on you and pray for you and you get help and God moves in your life, it's God and not me. Are you with me? See, the power in your life is not from you, it's from God. Where is it? It's dwelling on the inside of you. The King James says, earthen vessel. I love that. Earthen vessel. All right? Within your earthen vessel, within your clay jar, is a great treasure. And the treasure is the Spirit of God. God is with me. God is for me. God is in me. Let me show you another verse. I love that verse so much. I love the way that brings that out. We're going to go to Romans 8, and I'm going to read 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm going to read four verses. I had to count with my fingers. All right, now here's what I want to do. I want to read all of it to you, and I want you to just listen to the Word of God. Then I'm going to go back, and I want to show you truth in each one of the verses. So let me just go ahead and read. This is New Living Translation. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Now I'd like to look at verse 8. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Now, what does that mean? He's talking about people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay, people who have not invited God into their heart. People who have not invited the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. Okay, go to verse 9. Look what verse 9 says. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Now, look what it says. Okay, when you invited Christ into your life, the Spirit of God did what? He moved into the inside of you. And you no longer are in the flesh or under the control of your flesh, even though you have it and carry it with you everywhere you go. Okay, because you have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about people that aren't Christians. Okay, if you've got somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they don't belong to God. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, but you, though, who have invited Christ in, you belong to God. All right, in the King James, it says that if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Now, I can remember in my early Christian life, that confused me. Because you know what I thought? Well, I carry this thing with me everywhere I go. And if I take this with me everywhere I go, but I can't please God, I'm in trouble. You know, I've had men particularly tell me, you know, Pastor, for the longest time, I thought I'll never please God, so why try? Why try? And then when they heard the word of God and they found out that Christ loved them and that they could be born again, it changed their life. So see, you were outside of God before you knew Christ. Then when you said yes to Jesus, you're no longer in the flesh in the sense spiritually, but you're in the spirit with Christ and you belong to him. Are you with me? Okay. And what does it say? It says the Spirit of God lives where? He lives in you. All right. Now go to verse 9? Go to verse 10. Here it is again. And Christ lives within you. Now, I hope I'm settling this truth in your heart. Where does Christ live? He lives in you. Okay? He's not only with you, he's not only for you, but he's in you. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die, well, that's bad news, but we all know it. Even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. Would everybody say right with God? Pretty good. All right. Now, what have we found out? How are you made right with God? Well, you're made right with God by coming to church and by giving in the offering. Correct? Everybody say amen. That isn't true, is it? Now, thank you for saying amen, but it's not true. You're made right with God by one way, and that's putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You say yes to Jesus Christ. You say yes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And at that moment, you're made right with God. I did it when I was 12 years old. I was made right with God as a 12-year-old, and I've been right with God every moment, ever since. Have I made mistakes? Absolutely. Have I sinned? Absolutely. Okay, but my mistakes and my shortcomings don't make me not right with God. What made me right with God is the blood of Christ. Amen? All right, so what does it say? It says, Christ lives in me, and I've been made right with God, and so have you. Let's go to verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In us. Amen. I mean, we've looked at statement after statement after statement. Christ lives where? He lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he'll give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. Living where? Within you. Now, let me tell you something. The reason Jesus was raised from the dead is because you and I are going to be raised from the dead. You see, Jesus was the first person to die and be raised from the dead and get a glorified body. The day will come that you and I will be resurrected and we'll get a glorified body. All right? And even though my body is dying and decaying today, the day's going to come, I'm going to have a glorified, resurrected body, and so are you. And the Spirit of the living God lives where? Well, he dwells on the inside of me. And I take him with me everywhere I go, and he's there for everything that I need. All right, I want to go to another verse. I'm going to go to 1 John 4:16, and this is New Living Translation. Now, hang in here with me. We've been looking at a lot of verses, and I know. You're thinking, my gosh, Pastor, I mean, you're just giving me verse after verse after verse. But here's all I want you to see. Every one of these verses say the same thing. What are they saying? Christ lives in you. All right, God is with you, God is for you, and God is in you. Christ lives where? He lives in you. Now, look what this says. We know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Now, listen to me. One of the greatest ways to show your Christianity on a daily basis is to walk in love. And it says right here in this scripture, we believe in the love of God. What is the love of God? That God sent his only begotten son to die and take our place, that we could be with God forever. And so we believe in the love of God. We walk in the love of God. And it says as we live in love and live in God, God lives where? He lives in us. All right, here's another verse. God is in you. and he's there to help you. He's there to give you peace. He's there to minister to you in whatever you need. I got another verse. Excuse me. John 14:20, and this is New King James. It says, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, he's talking about the end of time, and I want you to see what he says. What does Jesus say? He says, you recognize that I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Where is Jesus? Well, he's in me. He's in you. All right? It's not a mystery. The scripture says it over and over and over. Now, I'm going to close, but I just want to really recognize, help you recognize these three simple truths. Okay? God is with you. You're not alone. You're not ever going to be alone. What did Jesus say? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's with you. Amen? Then he's for us. Listen, he's for you. He's for your family. He's for your children. He's for your grandchildren. He's for your job and your business. If you're married, he's for your marriage. Listen, he's for you, and he's willing to help you. And then the third simple truth is he dwells in you. The God who's for you lives in you. Listen, you're wall to wall the Spirit of God on the inside. And whatever you need, he's there and he's available. Now, does that mean he's not in heaven? No, he's on the throne, absolutely. But he dwells by his Spirit in each one of us. All right, close your eyes. Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you tonight for the simple truth of your word. And Father, I so want us to become more God inside minded. To recognize that the greater one dwells in us, and that no matter what we're facing, no matter what's coming down the road in our life, the greater one dwells in us, and that you're our hope, you're our help, you're our wisdom, you're our healer, you're our rewarder, you're everything that we need, and you're not off somewhere else, you're on the inside of us. Father God, I thank you that as we go from this place, you go with us. And as you go with us, you're for us. And as you're for us, you dwell in us. And I'm thankful. Father, I pray your grace and blessing over each one of us, that your hand is on our lives and our families. And I'm thankful, God, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise God. I love y'all. Y'all stand up. I'm so glad y'all were here. I want you to go and be blessed and have a great rest of your Thursday. We love you.